With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thank you, Heisty. Getting us up to speed with everything going on in sports. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. You can find us on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny. Danny is at the beach joining us today down the line via the magic of radio. I'm in our Half Street studios. It is time for your Beltway Blitz. We will be covering the NFL with Nate Davis and the Nationals with Andrew Golden, but we start on the gridiron locally. The Commanders, it's Rick Snyder, TheFanDC.com, who was in attendance on Saturday at FedEx Field for the preseason opener against Carolina. Rick, what did you make of the turnout? How many people do you think were there?
I guess about 11,000, maybe. You know, paid attendance was 44. But as I told you, one, you try and envision how to shove them all in one spot. I mean, there was nobody in the upper deck, of, you know, maybe less than 100 people that I could see. So I was surprised it was that poor. I mean, I'd say even a third of the people were Carolina Panthers. So that means maybe 7,000 Commanders fans.
Yeah, that doesn't necessarily jive with, you know, Jason Wright's optimistic, impromptu press conference before the game where he was telling everybody how great everything is at this stage. What did you make of the rebranded, reimagined fight song they got to play finally later on in the game because the first team offense didn't do much?
You know, it sounded almost like a funeral dirge where they were getting ready to light the Viking ship and push it off into the ocean. I mean, seriously. I mean, they sang it well. It just was the wrong tempo. And they only sang the first stanza for, you know, before the game. And I noticed they had a little more peppy version later. They didn't play after the first touchdown, which everybody was like, oh, where's the music? Honestly, play the music. Forget the words. People are going to sing Redskins anyway. And I thought it was another disappointment.
They did that on purpose, though, right? I mean, it's not like they were playing it weirdly on accident. They changed it and slowed it down, yeah?
Yeah, they took a different tact. Nobody liked it. I mean, it's supposed to be, you're winning, you got energy, let's go, instead of singing, you know, a sad tune to somebody that died, you know? I mean, it was kind of like, wow, you know, it's such a different way out than I would have gone to it. I give them credit. I watched them. They sang it well. It's just not appropriate.
Rick, what did you make of the first team offense and first team defense in the game?
The first team defense got itself handed. You know, they gave up a 13-page play drive right away. I thought, where have we seen this before? And, okay, the other one was a shortened field, and the quarterback threw a perfect pass in the corner. You couldn't defend that one. But you're down 10-0 early. I was like, okay, here we go. I thought the interior pass rush of Payne and Allen was very good. But a lot of it just seemed, unprepared kind of stuff. And, you know, offensively, I think Robinson's your running back. I mean, I know Gibson fumbled it too, but Robinson's your running back. So they didn't show much for passing. You know, they let Carson just pitch and catch it out there. So you didn't see much there. And the line did okay. But so overall, I gave it a B as an effort. You know, also the kick return thing was disastrous. They got to find somebody else to make decisions there.
I liked Montez Sweat. You mentioned a couple guys on the D-line. I thought he lived in the backfield, too. No sacks, but he got home a couple times and contacted the quarterback, which was good to see. You said Robinson's the running back, which is a pretty big statement, actually. Go deeper into that.
I think Howell's the 2023 quarterback, so let's go.
Wow, you were really taking notes on the game.
Love it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Robinson, I've watched him since the rookie camps. When you stand next to him, he's big, but when I see him on the field, he plays even bigger. I mean, this dude's got speed. He knows how to run the ball. You know, he went off the blocks very well, found extra room. I think there's a lot there, and I don't think Gibson is really not your guy. I mean, Gibson's like some other interim guys we've had over the years, like Skip Hicks or something. They're stopgap guys. You're waiting for a guy like Robinson. I think he can really give you a lot on there. And Howell, you know, give that kid credit, man. If they'd held on to win, he would have been the next, Babe Laufenberg and Cole Brennan, you know, coming out of nowhere. And, yes, you're playing against third stringers, but you're also playing with third stringers. So I like Sam a lot. I've watched him in, you know, the offseason practices more. And the guy has a lot of talent. If I'm not saying Carson won't work, but I think this kid will give you the option for 2023.
What would you do for him in the next game? I'd say we know we have in Taylor Heinicke. We like him. We want to see Sam Howell go up against different competition. We want to see what he does with the twos. But I don't know if the coaches think that way.
Yeah, I think second game, Ron hadn't talked about it yet, but I think they're going to give the first team a little more time maybe in the second game and then rest them in the third, which means Howell would probably, I don't know if it's start Taylor or Howell, but they'll both get a lot of time in that third game on there. And are you ready to pitch Heinicke over for Sam? No, not necessarily, but Heinicke's also a good trade piece in case somebody loses a quarterback to injury.
Rick, we appreciate you, buddy. Good seeing you this weekend.
All right, guys. See you.
Be well. Thanks. You know, no one's really talking about Heinicke, by the way, Danny. He threw the one pick, obviously, when he got hit as he threw. I mean, to me, non-story, the whole performance for him, you kind of know the depth chart. There's not a whole lot of competition, really. Wentz is the one. Heinicke's going to be the two. Howell, at least to start the year, will be the three. And I suppose if he has a banner rest of the preseason and he's lighting it up at practice, I mean, there could be a point by the end of the year where he leapfrogs Taylor Heinicke, I suppose. But right now, you kind of have your pecking order, and that's okay. I mean, they paid Wentz a lot of money. They gave up a ton to bring him in. He's your starter. Heinicke has experience, and Howell doesn't, and you just kind of let the guys operate as they are.
Well, just to expound on what I said a moment ago, I would say, and again, coaches don't think the way I do, and I shouldn't be a coach, so maybe there's something to what I'm about to say in terms of my opinion. But I would say Wentz is our starter. That's obvious. We like what we have in Taylor Heinicke. He is proven to be a capable player in this league. He is our backup, and that's not going to change. We would like to see what Sam Howell does up with the twos. We're going to give him a chance to fail a little bit, to go up against better competition. We'd like to use this as a great learning experience for him. We are not going to rush him. I'd be very upfront about how I plan to play those guys. It doesn't change my depth chart, doesn't change how I feel about anybody, but we'd like Sam Howell to take advantage of these repetitions, and we'll learn, and so will he. That's what I would do. Again, I don't think they think that way. It's got to be hierarchy and win the job and need-based for these preseason games.
All right, let's keep the Beltway Blitz moving. Let's talk a little baseball. And to talk about the Nationals, we will talk to Andrew Golden of the Washington Post on the Beltway Blitz. Happy C.J. Abrams Day. After being acquired, sent down to AAA to get acclimated, he has been recalled. He will be in the lineup for the Nationals at Nats Park against the Cubs tonight. Give us all the details you got.
Yeah, he obviously is one of the six prospects in the Juan Soto and Josh Bell trade. Obviously a prospect they care a lot about. He played eight games with Rochester, and they decided to bring him up, obviously, with Luis Garcia's injury to his groin a couple nights ago. I think even when he was going to get called up, even if Garcia was healthy, I think the plan was for him to be the everyday shortstop, and and that process has been expedited, but I'm expecting to see him there the rest of the year.
What can you tell us about Garcia's injury? What's the timetable?
He's reportedly going to be placed in the IL. I'm assuming the 15-day IL. He had right knee soreness at the end of the Chicago series and his groin injury. He said yesterday when we talked to him that he was having trouble. He felt some pain while he was running. He could walk fine. When it comes to running, he still experiences some pain. So I would expect him to be on the 15-day IL. And then I'm sure there'll be some rehab involved in that too. I'm sure they're going to take a groin's kind of a hard injury to play with, so I think they'll take it easy.
Back to Abrams for just a second. What are their expectations for him the rest of this season? He's just 21. I know he's struggled some in the big leagues, but if he hadn't already graduated out of prospect status on most publications, I mean, he'd be one of the highest regarded prospects in all the game. What are they thinking they're going to get out of him, and how do they feel about his future chances to hit for some power and to really be an impact player?
Yeah, I think the expectations are just for him to be at the top of the lineup and get on base. I think the Nationals have done a lot of shuffling at the top of their order, and I think that he'd kind of be a consistent bat for them if he has the ability to do that, just get on base. produce with, you know, balls in the gap. I do think the power is something that they're expecting a little bit farther down the line, but it's something he has shown in the minors at times. So I think that's something that's gonna be down the line. But I think just producing at the top of the order every day and also playing solid defense. Obviously, we know that Luis Garcia, you know, defensively, his shortstop hasn't been the smoothest. But Abrams is expected to be a really strong defensive player. So I think just getting that consistency defensively and hitting, you know, hitting for average at the top of the lineup.
He can fly. He's as fast as nearly anybody in the bigs. Hasn't translated a ton yet into stolen bases, although I'm at small sample at the major league level. I mean, who knows what San Diego's philosophy was in terms of running him a lot. But is that going to translate into him stealing a bunch of bags and being that kind of dynamic top of the order player?
Yeah, I think that the Nationals haven't done that as much this year either, but I do think they have the speed on the bases. You know, Robles has been kind of sneaky good this year, so he's been on. But I would expect to see him steal bases too, and for the Nationals to be aggressive. I know a lot of the time they kind of be careful at the top of the order, especially with Soto and Bell. You don't want to run yourself off the bases with them, you know, with them hitting. But I would expect to see him steal some bases too. I would expect to see that translate for sure.
Going back to Luis Garcia for a moment, who's on the injured list, made room for Abrams, as you referenced. What did we learn this season? We know that he can't play shortstop. That's a given, and I think the Nats will now stop saying anything other than that he's a second baseman of the future. But they have something here. I mean, they developed a guy who can hit, who's got fast hands and good wrists and some bat speed. What do we think about him moving forward?
Oh, yeah. He can hit. I mean, he proved that this year that he can hit at MLB level. The one thing that we also discovered with that is that he's not going to walk. And like, he only had, I believe he only has 4 walks this season. So he can get on base a lot with hitting, but I do think, you know, in the future, you know, him maybe being a little bit more selective at the plate might be better. But he can definitely hit with the best of them. I do see him as a second baseman. I think the fact that Dave Martinez said before even Abrams was called up, today, he said last week that he wanted Abrams to be the everyday shortstop. So that kind of tells you how they feel about Garcia's defense. I think he shifts to second base. I think the hope for the Nationals is that he and Abrams can kind of be, you know, the middle infield of the future. I think the takeaways again from this year, he can hit. He doesn't walk, but he can hit, and you know the defense has to improve.
Andrew, I want to ask you about K-Bro Ruiz quickly. I was thrilled to see that couple homer game here over this past week. And I've argued that, you know, the bat-to-ball skills are there, and we've seen that. He doesn't strike out a ton. I think that power's coming. That was probably a pretty encouraging sign there for the rookie.
Yeah, and I think he and the hitting coach, Darnell Coles, have been working on some things in the cage to kind of unlock some of that power more. I think getting his hands through the ball inside pitches more is something that they kind of stressed to him. And I think it's kind of what you saw in those 2 home runs, is him getting around those inside fastballs, loading a bit earlier to kind of get his timing down better. So, yeah, I'm sure that's been his goal and his plan to hit more home runs. When we were in Chicago, we were sitting in the dugout, and I asked him how he thought the season was going. He was like, it's good, but like, I need more homers. So I think he's aware of it. The team is aware of it. I would not be surprised if he hits some more before the end of the season.
Andrew Golden, Washington Post, Nats beat here on the Beltway Blitz. All right, let's leave it here. Soto, Bell came back, got some really nice ovations, huge turnouts over the weekend, some of the largest crowds of the season. What'd you make of the last 3 days?
Yeah, it was kind of a whirlwind. I mean, I'd never seen that many reporters out there for one player, but yeah, they got the attention of obviously everybody, and the fans are super receptive to both of them. Obviously, Juan has shown a lot of love for them with the return video as well. It was a great weekend. I think it was good on both sides. Honestly, a good series. The Nationals obviously lost another series, but I do think it was overall pretty competitive series for the most part.
Andrew, always appreciate the time, man. Talk soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Andrew Golden of the Washington Post, that is your Beltway Blitz. At 5 o'clock, we're going to be talking to Billy Imbati, who covers SMU football. They are going to be offering all of their football and basketball players salaries, everyone on the teams, to come play for them. They're the first team to do this, putting together a big collective, rather than kind of hunting and going after top prospects at the high school and college ranks. They're going to pay everybody. So we'll talk to them about their plan and if this is something that could actually make some waves. Want to get into Sam Howell next, so we will do that. Also, a little Kevin Durant news. There's a report out there about just how hard Kevin Durant could push to try to get out of Brooklyn. I think you'll be surprised to hear what he might try to do. That's next on Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the 17, Howell steps up, takes off, inside the 10, the 5, touchdown!
We'll talk Sam Howell on Grant and Danny in just a moment. Welcome back. You're listening to The Fan. I'm in D.C. Danny is at the beach, but he is with me today. Bleacher Report just had this via the Stein line. I think that's Mark Stein's handle. Longtime NBA reporter. Was at ESPN forever. An NBA executive tells him that Kevin Durant is more likely to retire than to play for the Nets. There's a growing expectation that KD could cause a ruckus to get the Nets to make a trade. So this just sounds like him leveraging whatever power he's got to say, hey, I'll never play again before I play for you, try to force their hand. And at this point, I would trade Kevin Durant if I was them for a couple reasons. Namely, he's a giant pain in the butt, it seems like, and wants out, and he's not going to make your life fun. So just do it, because who cares? But I don't believe for one second he's actually going to retire.
We need to bring back, because it's been a long time, see if Darius can find it, putting him on the spot here, the Oh, I'm Sure Brian Peck song about Kevin Durant retiring. Thank you. I'm the most sure Kevin Durant's going to retire. I'm the most sure. This is the worst bluff in the history of bluffs. Like, if you had cards that were dealt to you that were like 7-2 offset, showed them to everybody, and then tried to bluff your way into explaining that you had a full house to get people to bet against you. Insanity. He's not retiring. He's not. Now, you could play this audio when he does. Wolf Reason Cole take it, and that'll be all great. He's not. He just wants to not play for Brooklyn anymore because he doesn't want to play with Kyrie Irving and he doesn't think they can win, and he's whining his way out of yet another spot.
Yeah, I've never been more sure about much than I am that Kevin Durant will not be retiring. Here's how sure I am. I'm about equally sure that Kevin Durant's retiring as I am that I'm running in a marathon this weekend.
Oh, congrats, dude. Where is it?
Thank you. It's going to be really fun. It's in Philadelphia. I'm doing the Philadelphia Marathon this weekend.
Yep.
And I'm going to run 26 plus miles. And I'm also this sure I'm not going to slow down once. I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to take a breath. I'm not going to do that thing where I put my hands on my hips and kind of slowly move along. That's how sure I am about Kevin Durant. It's just not happening. But he's doing his thing where he reaches out to the media people that he knows. And, you know, he contacts someone to get the word out to Mark Stein, who, you know, or some executive supposedly is saying,
some executive. Hey, I mean,
Kevin Durant's going to retire. I bet. It's probably the executive that he wants to play with, you know, at the team that he wants to go to, whichever team that is, some really good team, Boston or somebody. So they're just floating this out there, you know, some random executive, some random team going, yeah, Kevin Durant will retire so that the Nets have to get more active and actually force the envelope here a little bit. All right, let's talk Sam Howell. So in his preseason debut, he came into the game in the second half, and he played exclusively against not only backups, but plenty of guys that will not be in the NFL this year on active rosters. Needs to be stated. It was a mixed bag. It wasn't like it was all really, really good. Like, he missed a couple of really short, easy throws. He was 9 of 16. Probably should have been at least 10 or maybe 11 of 16 in his 143 yards. Maybe could have been 150 plus, 160, something like that. But that having been said, it was really, really good. So I just want to take the temperature and see what people thought about Sam Howell the first time you got to see him. And we'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What did you like? What didn't you like? Most people listening, I'm guessing, saw him a little bit at North Carolina, knew the team drafted him in the fifth round, and haven't seen him since. Because how many of you guys are out at practice? You know, going to the facility with one of those limited tickets that they hand out now in, like, VIP sections and stuff and hanging out and watching. So want to hear what you guys thought. Danny, you go first.
So I want you guys to imagine that this is not third-team mop-up duty just to finish out a first preseason game. Imagine this is a first-round pick playing towards the beginning of a game. If he did this, you'd go, hey, nice beginning. He missed some things. The criticism and the evaluation, by the way, I rubber-stamped that. I triple-stamped your double-stamp, Lloyd. Everything you said, I agree with wholeheartedly. There were rookie moments. There was I probably shouldn't have taken that sack, or probably should have hit that throw, or maybe that one was a beat late, etc. Maybe you shouldn't have escaped out of that pocket that was perfectly clean. It looked the way that rookies, where the game is going pretty fast, looked. The fact is, they got this guy for a song. They got this guy at the end of the draft. If things had kind of kept progressing as they were in Sam Howell's college career, he might have been a top pick over the course of these next couple of seasons. But as it was, it just sort of didn't work out the right way for Sam Howell. So for me, this is really encouraging that a guy, again, that they got just as he's fallen too far. We've got to just take him. You know, even though we don't necessarily need it or that and the other, the value here is too good. This is where you're finding a potential special teams linebacker or, a fifth tight end or a seventh tight end in their case. Let's just throw the guy out there and see what happens. I thought he was really impressive, especially for the value, which is, the very little that they had to spend to get him. I was really, really comfortable with what I saw from Sam Howell and would like to see more.
Only part of that I disagree with is I think if he was a first-round pick and he did what he did this weekend against starters as the QB1, so to speak, I think people would be going nuts. The idea that you'd say, oh, that was fine, I disagree with that completely. I think we'd be elated. Remember, Dwayne Haskins was a first-round pick, and in his first preseason action, I mean, he threw a couple of picks and was, airballing balls in center field. It's not to belittle him, the late Dwayne Haskins, tragically no longer with us, but that's the last comp I have of what it's like when your first-round quarterback you drafted makes the preseason debut. There was really none of that from Sam Howell in terms of not seeing a zoning linebacker or throwing a ball over the top of a receiver into the waiting arms of a safety, something like that. He looked like he was completely in control. He was a veteran kind of running the offense. That the misses was, a ball that was too low to the feet of someone who was coming across the formation in the backfield. A couple of little things like that. I wish he had his throw back, even though it was perfectly reasonable and should have been caught, to Kelvin Harmon when he tried to back shoulder him for what would have been, it was 40 yards in the air, but I think it would have been close to a 30-yard completion. Because Harmon, if you remember, reached for the football, had it in his hands, played popcorn, and then stepped out of bounds and caught it. He should have caught the ball, but Howell could have made maybe a slightly better throw. And then that's kind of a signature toss, I think, in the game. But that one play extender where he rolled out of the pocket and kind of spun away and reset, that was awesome. That was big league stuff, big time play. And I loved the scramble. It was really smart that you had that much room in real estate. And there are veteran quarterbacks in this league that never look to move or run. Like, as much as highly as I think of Cousins as a passer, he's not leaving the pocket to take off and make people miss really ever. And that
recognize
Sam Howell,
they were in man. Exactly. Everyone had their back turned. You got to beat one guy, and it's a tutty. And he did that.
And he did it easily. That's a 17-yard touchdown. There are quarterbacks all over the NFL that have been in the league for years that just stay in the pocket and either get sacked or throw that ball away or try to force it in for an incompletion or whatever. And he's like, no, I can make this one DB miss. This is what I live for. And he went and scored on a 17-yard run, which is pretty elite. I mean, you don't see many 17-yard touchdown runs for quarterbacks. So I was really happy with it, and I'm impressed. I hope he can build on that. But let's go to the phones. Let's see what you guys think. 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor listener lines. Nobody's talking about a QB competition. No one's talking about him moving up the depth chart on this show. But I do want to see if you guys were intrigued by what you saw as we were. Mark's in Largo. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, right, Grant. Right. Okay.
What's funny? I missed it.
Morse code saying that to me. I see what you call. I see why you were saying. You were saying that to say that to me. No one's saying.
Wait, what did I say to you?
So stop it before you get going, Mark. Okay? Because I saw your name.
Oh, I know what you're going to do. You can do it. No, believe it or not, I don't think about you with every comment I make. But yes, you can call him the starter if you'd like. What my point is, me and Danny are not advocating for a quarterback challenge
out there. I honestly think he made some mistakes. I think he needs to play better. But I think he made some mistakes out there that I was a little bit eerie about. But he can work better from that. I'm not going to say I would like to see him against the ones. I do think he's going to play better probably, you know, the last game, the last preseason game, because that's probably the only time he's going to. The only question I see is does he move ahead of Taylor? And that's, I mean, come on, Grant. When Taylor made that pass, you know, in the first half, when he threw the interception, didn't that remind you of last year?
It did. He got hit, honestly. I mean, but yes.
But he does that all the time.
Well, that's fair. Yeah. He's a backup quarterback.
I mean, go ahead, Danny. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Mark, I didn't mean to jump in there. But for me, that is the question. If and when he moves ahead of Taylor Heinicke. And for me, I would file it away. If I'm the coaching staff and go, I know what we got. We got an exciting, small sample, backup quarterback, runner makes some plays. I want to see Sam Howell against tougher competition.
But just think about this, though. Think about this. I love Carson Wentz, and I think Carson Wentz should be the starter, and I think he could do well for the rest of the season. But suppose he gets hurt, and Sam comes in. And let's say sometime in the Philadelphia game or the Tennessee game, he gets hurt. Sam comes in, and he plays well. And they do so well, he starts winning. But Carson comes back. If you are Scott and Ron, you got a real big decision to make. But I mean, we'll see. But I'm not going to say he's going to overjump anybody because I think he needs to play better.
So, well, and I'll say this: it's a good call, Mark. I mean, first of Carson getting hurt, him coming in, them winning. There's a lot of ifs there. There's a lot of things that have to happen. I'm not overly interested in like projecting that and what would that look like. It's unlikely. Here is what I will say. If he plays like he did in that preseason game in his next two exhibition opportunities, he's got two more games, and I think you're right, that third game, he probably will play the majority of the game, maybe three quarters, something like that. I don't think Wentz will play at all. Maybe you give Heinicke a quarter. I don't even know why you would need to do that. I would honestly play Sam Howell the entire game. I would just let him prepare as a starter as if it was regular season game number one. But he's going to play. That's the point. And when that happens, if he keeps playing well, I think he could, you know, close the gap perhaps. But it would take, for me, deeper into the season, if I'm Ron Rivera, to start moving things around on the backup quarterback depth chart. The only area where I'll completely agree is, let's just say Wentz, and this would stink if this happens, is out for an extended period of time. Let's say he goes down in week four, week six, something like that, and he's not coming back for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Playing Taylor Heinicke for the rest of the season, in my opinion, would be a waste of time because you know what he is. That was what last year was. You figured out he's your backup quarterback, and that's what he is now. Cool. I would play Sam Howell for the rest of the season. I absolutely would because if it's really bad, that's fine. You just pick higher, and you know that he's not an NFL quarterback. And if it's really good, then that's the best-case scenario because maybe you accidentally stumbled into something with his undersized guy. So 100%, if Wentz is out more than just a few weeks and Heinicke's job is just to keep them in the playoff mix, if it's a long-term thing, Howell should absolutely get reps this year, in my opinion.
Same here. I guess I look at it, I take a slightly different tack to what you're saying, in so much as they haven't altered Carson Wentz's salary cap hit. He's the sixth most expensive player in the NFL this year. Right, they could have spread that out over multiple years and extended him and kind of made it less cap impactful, but they wanted to keep a couple things. One, the flexibility, being able to move on from him if they need to. And I think two, as you know, some of these other mega deals kick in, that cap number will become less aggressive. But it gave them the luxury of not having to make any other decisions this year. Anything they do can be seen in the realm of patience. And up at the top, this is Carson. We traded a bunch to get him. We're paying him the sixth most of anybody in the NFL in terms of cap hits. This is a Carson Wentz production brought to you by Carson Wentz. Anything else is kind of taking the pressure off, right? Last year, while they're floundering, we're going, why are they so committed to Taylor Heinicke? They traded for Kyle Allen the instant Ron Rivera's paint was dry on his door. Why are they so committed to this guy that isn't particularly good, that's made a couple nice plays 4, 5, 6 weeks ago when they can't score more than 17 points? What is it that we're not seeing? There's no controversy this year. This is a Carson Wentz production, but who's the backup? I think you can kind of bide your time and sort of figure some things out here. You can have some patience at that level.
I want to get your thoughts on Sam Howell as we continue. At 800-636-1067, we're going to take more calls on what you thought of the rookie quarterback's preseason debut next. We've got more takeaways on what should be done to put him in some adverse situations, perhaps, and those that he can flourish in the rest of this preseason to try to get him prepared to possibly get into a game at some point this year if he's a backup and that were to happen, even if it's not the plan necessarily. So we'll get to that on G&D. Plus, you're going to hear from rookie offensive lineman Chris Paul, who made his debut on the field at FedEx Field on Saturday, as soon as we return next right here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant and Danny, welcome you back on 106.7 The Fan. I told you I caught up with rookie Chris Paul in the locker room after his first preseason game.
What did you think?
Man, it was a lot of fun, and you never really truly know how it'll go until you get out there. So it was nice to just get that first rep in, and then now we're rolling, and I look forward to getting better and getting back to work this week and just continuing to improve and improve and improve. But it was a lot of fun.
This is probably one of the more unique game experiences you've had, because you don't really know the plan until it happens. I mean, how detailed is it coming in? Do you know what drive you're going in, or you're just kind of waiting for them to yell your number and you head out to the huddle?
I mean, you sort of get an idea, whether it's by drive, whether it's by quarter. And, I mean, your coaches are out there communicating with you, and so we know. But you definitely have a stay-ready mindset all the time. And so, I mean, I played the whole game except the first quarter.
So for you, with the reps that you got, you played with multiple quarterbacks, slew of running backs. What's that like? Obviously, in the course of a normal game, you might have 2-3 backs that are very different. But to have so many guys with different styles in that huddle, what's that like for your purposes?
I mean, for us, it definitely teaches you how to adjust and I mean, as you continue to go through games, especially here in the preseason where we're switching out a lot, knowing like certain guys' tendencies and things like that. So I think it's great experience overall.
What'd you think of your performance? You'll go back now with coaches and watch the film, but just top of your head leaving the game, what'd you like, what didn't you like?
Performance-wise, I'm just ready to go back in because I'm the type of person, like, I could have 50 million great plays, but if I have two bad plays, that's what I'm going to harp on and that's what I'm going to remember. So I'm just ready to go get back into the lab and work on those things.
Sam Howell, I'm curious just what his demeanor's like in the huddle. He's going to be the guy every August, I'm sure, when guys put up numbers and make plays. They become a fan favorite right away. He led the comeback. What's he like when he's talking with you guys during those TV timeouts and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Very confident, very, like, just keeping everybody level-headed and getting us ready to go. And so whether it's giving us the play ahead of time or just keeping everybody in the huddle. So he has a great demeanor about him and definitely commands the offense in a respectable way.
Lastly, you get back to your locker. You get to check your phone. I mean, who's on that short list of people you're texting and calling? Mom and dad have already hit you up, maybe. Did you have them here in the stands? Like, what's that like for you when you're trying to now kind of get back, plug in? Who are those people in your life that you like to kind of go through the game with?
Yeah, so definitely family. I've got close friends here in D.C. that were at the game and are always supporting me and have been since I was drafted here. And then obviously my family is hitting me up because they're watching and they're looking and they're communicating with me, especially my two brothers. And so definitely a big support system, whether they're here in person or not.
Appreciate the time. Congrats on getting the first one out of the way. And best of luck the rest of this preseason.
Thank you very much.
Chris Paul, the 7th-round pick out of Tulsa. Ron Rivera telling reporters today he was very impressed with his performance, said he was stout. And as Paul said there, he played the second, third, and fourth quarters. He got a lot of work at FedEx Field. Let's go to Tim in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Tim, how are you?
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
I just want to say I am thoroughly impressed with Sam Howell. I watched a lot of his games, you know, watched his career at North Carolina. And he's always seemed very poised, you know, he had great command of the quarterback position. Now, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid already, and I might sound crazy, but I think he should actually be starting. And I know he won't because of the money and what they gave up for Carson Wentz. But midway through the season, you're going to see Sam Howell. And I think the competition should be between Sam Howell and Heinicke because Sam Howell is going to be our future. The guy, he's a great young quarterback, and he's going to be good.
Thank you, Tim. Much appreciated.
Thanks, buddy.
Danny, this is a bad reason to disagree with him, but there are times where I just think you can pretty safely be correct if you follow historical precedent and context. And there is a 98% chance that if you just assume Sam Howell will never become a starting quarterback, you're right because of where he was drafted in the 5th round. Now, does occasionally the league miss? Yes. Everyone will point to Brady in the 6th round, who will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And Kurt Warner, who was undrafted and came by way of bagging groceries, right? Playing for the Iowa Barnstormers indoors. That does happen. But just as a general rule, for the dozens and dozens and dozens of quarterbacks taken in round 5 and 6 and 7, there's one guy maybe for every several dozen that it works for. So the odds are against him, and there's got to be a reason teams passed on him over and over and over again at a time when the quarterback is more valuable than it's ever been, when teams are moving mountains more than they ever have before, they're trading more to go get these guys, they're paying them more than ever, they care more about that position than at any point in history before this, and nobody would draft Sam Howell for 4+ rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that he just accidentally fell to Washington and he's going to be great, maybe, I'm not saying it can't happen, but you are playing the lottery here. And if you just sit in your seat and say, he's probably not going to be a starter, you're right at a 99% rate with guys drafted where he was drafted.
Yeah, there's way more Easton Stick and Clayton Thorson than there is, you know, bona fide multi-year franchise quarterbacks coming out of that spot. So you're right. You're playing the percentages, certainly. I could see the pathway to it, though. And here's what I mean. Right now, what people are doing in terms of drafting quarterbacks high is, do we have the guy I'm willing to bet my reputation on? Do we have that superstar? Do we have that no wrinkle, can't miss, I'm not getting fired because I picked Trevor Lawrence kind of a guy that's going in certain spots? And the last season he played in college football, from a passing perspective, just looking at that, was disappointing. It was. Sam Howell's a freshman and sophomore was excellent in terms of what they were doing at UNC. There was a big drop-off, along with the talent that dropped off around him. And one could argue maybe he didn't make everybody better as in terms of the offensive line or the receivers or otherwise. I'm not here to parse it up. I'm not breaking down UNC film. But I've always been impressed with the guy, just in terms of that command, the toughness, the fact that he looks like a gamer. As things are crumbling around him, he didn't hang his head. He just ran for 900 yards and 10 touchdowns this past season. So, yeah, to me, he belongs in the league. Let's see what he can do. But I'm not in a rush to crown him just yet. All I know is that first performance when, things were flying for guys that are hungry to make football teams, he was pretty damned impressive to me. That was a really good debut. And that's kind of all I'm willing to say at this stage.
You'll hear from Jarrett Patterson, who averaged 5 yards per carry on Saturday at FedEx Field in preseason game one. Coming up at 5:25 when we get into the backfield, Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, among the items to discuss on the Commanders running back room. But next, Billy Mbadi, who covers SMU. They've got a collective put together now, it sounds like, where they're going to be able to pay all of their football and basketball players a salary based on the NIL deal struck outside of the program. We'll ask him about that next on G&D right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.